And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on Missionary Radio. And we got Jim Dozer Adams in with us this morning. And as Jim gets prepared, as he gets his headphones on and gets the mic pulled up there in front of him, there
as
we
Jim
go.
Jim gets prepared. Jim gets prepared.
I was starting to get nervous there. Yeah. I thought.
I was thinking about getting them walking out the door and seeing what you do.
That
would be tacky.
Well, I probably would just hit a song or something, but.
Yeah, 13 more songs.
13 more songs get to go this hour.
Yeah.
Well, Jim.
Okay, we got folks that say, wait, what's going on? It's supposed to be Mike. Where's Mike? Bring back Mike. Bring back Mike, you know.
Well, Mike will be with us next Tuesday.
Yeah. Every now and again, we run into some scheduling situations, and Mike and I swap off.
Yeah.
And this is one of those. And we're not going to tell you whose fault it is, but his initials are not M.
Oh, me. That's something.
Okay. Well.
Well, good morning, Jim.
Happy tax day to you.
Oh,
happy tax day.
Yeah.
To happy tax day.
To you.
Or not. Okay.
Yeah, we're getting
trouble.
Well,
now, one thing is, because Kentucky's been declared a disaster area because of, anybody don't know why. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm surprised at you. Anyway, we have extra time, automatic extra time. You file extensions, you don't have to.
Yeah.
You know, usually if you have to file extension, if you're going to owe some, you have to go ahead and send it in, but they've got to, they're giving us a little break on that.
True. Glad to give us a little break. Of course, I've got mine done early, so I mean, you know, I'm done. Finished.
Well, I didn't, so I'm still getting worked on.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Gonna run through some real serious right here. It is still dangerous in some parts of the world to be a Christian and to be a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had an update on this since the day before yesterday. But there's an American pastor. His name's Josh Sullivan. You maybe know about this. He was abducted at gunpoint during a church service in South Africa. He's Tennessee native. He was delivering a sermon at Fellowship Baptist Church in Motherwell, Eastern Cape, South Africa. Four masked gunmen stormed in there. This was last Thursday. And they kidnapped him.
Mm-hmm.
They removed him from the pulpit. Apparently, they knew who he was because they addressed him by name, which would be a hint.
Yeah.
And they also, just for meanness, stole two cell phones. And they stole the Sullivan's car, but they later abandoned that one. And so they just held his... wife first walked her toward the door, saying, "Is Josh, is this your wife?" Then they pushed her to the ground, took him, and off they went. Mr. Sullivan is a missionary. He's tied in with the Fellowship Baptist Church in Maryville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. He moved down to South Africa in 2018 with his family to establish a church in the Xhosa-speaking communities. But anyway, the South African Police Service's anti-gang unit is heading an investigation, and they may end up turning that over to a group called the Hawks, which is a specialized crime unit, if they get a ransom demand. As of the 13th, there was no ransom requested, so we don't know quite what's going on with it.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of support for them, a lot of folks let them know that they're praying for them. Please be in prayer for this family and for that he would be found intact and not be joining the list of the martyrs. Another thing, too, and this has happened several times with missionaries who've been kidnapped, is while they're there, they start talking about the Lord Jesus to their captors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it worked for Paul, and it has done different effects. Some of them still haven't survived. Others have at least sowed seed and perhaps made some converts.
Yeah.
But it's been a good witness. They've been a good witness with that.
Yeah.
Because they're taking advantage of the opportunities. So
we
pray that he get opportunities to explain why he was, you know, what's an American doing coming to South Africa?
Mm-hmm.
And they've been there since 2018, so that's, 7 years?
Been there a while.
But still dangerous in some parts of the world.
It's very dangerous.
And so it's being very, you got folks, well, we're going on a mission trip. Well, that doesn't always turn out well.
True.
You've got folks who have gone on mission trips to some countries and never been seen again.
Yep, never return.
So,
but that's something that you, when you become a missionary, that's something you just have to take with you, I guess.
Well, it's part of the call.
Is
necessary, if it's necessary.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, the Lord needs you to speak to somebody, he needs somebody spoken to, and
That's right.
To sow a seed.
That's right.
And you may or may not see results.
That's true.
I know there's a friend of mine that he was a missionary in Eastern Europe, mm-hmm. and his calling was teaching.
Yeah.
To raise up, you know, local national folks and teach them, and mm-hmm. sort of, you know, seminary classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I had another one say, well, is he actually doing anything over there, or is he just piddling? Why? Because he's not sending back reports of all these people that got saved and all these people that got saved because I... That's not the calling. The calling was to train people up. People who are raised in a particular culture with a particular
mm-hmm.
language
mm-hmm.
reach well. It's a group called Mission Voice Network. We've had Pastor V on a few times, and mm-hmm. and Tony Evans, Tennessee Tony Evans, not Texas Tony Evans.
Yeah.
And talking about that, but that's what they do, is they work with local missionaries, train
True.
Them up. They're tied in with some seminaries to give mm-hmm. additional information, and they train them to go into their own people
mm-hmm.
at very great peril. These guys have been beaten to death. They've been beaten, just beaten wow. up. They've had their houses threatened to be burned. They
mm-hmm.
One village, they were denied access to water, and they had to walk for miles
yeah.
to get water and then haul it back. And so mm-hmm. the missionary group raised some money and dug a well. And then so it was a missionary's well, which he made available to everybody.
That's right.
And it opened some doors as well.
That's right.
But
let's be praying. Let's be praying for that missionary there. Well, Jim, let's break away for a few minutes.
Let me give you the name. The name is Josh Sullivan.
Remember Josh Sullivan. I've seen some information, I think, on Facebook and social media floating around about that. So
mm-hmm.
Let's remember that family.
Well, evidently that listening partner's not home and missed out on the Thank You Jesus friend raiser. That's not a problem. I think I'll just leave this message. Dear partner of Missionary Radio, I'm sorry we missed you, but that isn't a problem. Even though the on-air presentation of the friend raiser is over, you can still give, and please do. If you've already given, please know we are grateful. Thank you so much. Now, if you missed the friend raiser, here's what you can do. Go to missionary.radio, click on Donate, and then fill out the digital faith pledge card and send it. While there, you can set up your giving through Cornerstone Payment System with your debit or credit card, or join the Firm Friend Club. You can send your faith pledge by mail to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky 42241. P.S. I want to remind you that we are 100% listener funded and want to partner with you to keep Missionary Radio on the air till Jesus comes.
At 7:12, we are back, and this is the front porch. Of course, once again, Jim Dozer Adams in with us this morning.
And good morning one more time. Trying to get the microphone to be where I want it to, and it wants me to be where it wants me to do.
Uh-huh,
okay,
uh-huh.
Here's an interesting little item I run across. Harvard University, University.
Uh-huh.
A member of the Dean's Council is being sued for his assistance to Hamas.
Really?
He resigned. That's easier than getting fired, I guess.
Well, yeah.
Bashar Masri, a Palestinian-American billionaire, stepped down at Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government. A lawsuit filed by 200 family members of the victims of October 7th terrorist attacks alleged that he used his business and money to aid and abet Hamas in its antagonism toward Israel. He goes on with that. So, but apparently he has, worked up an organization supposed to help rebuild in Gaza,
mm-hmm.
and got about $55 million from USAID, Agency of International Development. He's mm-hmm. a billionaire, so he gets $5 million of our money.
Wow.
Anyway, they're saying he and his company worked with Hamas to construct and conceal an elaborate subterranean attack tunnel network, which Hamas used to burrow under the border into Israel, attack nearby Israeli communities, ambush, and so forth. So we have got, folks in our own country that are aiding and abetting things going on over there, and folks that don't care,
mm-hmm.
and folks that, anyway, at least he resigned, so maybe some influence will be lost there. Now, here's something. Know what your people are doing when you elect them to office. In Maine, Democrats are arguing in the court that they can decide which lawmakers can vote in the legislature. So get an elected lawmaker is in the legislature, and the Democrat Party saying, well, we don't like your position on this issue, so you can't vote.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to get that settled in court. Maine Attorney General Aaron Fry, who is trying to get the court to dismiss the First Amendment fight brought by Representative Laurel Libby, who is a Republican, and majority Democrats deprived her of her right to vote because she criticized their agenda. The agenda was promoting transgenderism, and she objected to it. And they say, well, you can't vote on the issue then.
Mm.
You don't vote our way, you can't vote on our agenda. Yeah, I mean, good grief.
Yeah.
Now, that's... But, you know, you abandon God's standards, and that's what you end up with.
That's
well,
true.
You're not going to do it my way. You just don't get to do it all, nanny, nanny, boo-boo on you.
Hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, however, this is interesting. All over the country, we've got people opposed to the policies here and there, and they decide to participate in a nationally coordinated hands-off protest.
Mm-hmm.
Signs like, stop destroying America, hands off our Social Security, resist fascism, tariffs or taxes, and honk if you love democracy. And they go with a lot of outrage, but says very little actual information. So you ask them, what are you protesting? Well, a lot of independent journalists actually went out asking those questions, and they got interesting answers. A lot of protests who were asked, they had no idea what they were out there opposing, or those who have deep convictions about what they're opposing, but they can't quote any evidence, anything to indicate that the threat exists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, save our Social Security. There's no threat to Social Security. You know, this administration nor the last one was trying to destroy Social Security. Oh, they're going to hurt our Social Security. No, that's the third rail of American politics there.
Yeah.
They got a lot of coalitions being busted. Let's see. They have examples. Tesla and electric cars. They have the folks who devotees to Tesla. We have to save the planet. And Elon Musk, he brings out the Tesla, which apparently is an exceptionally good electric vehicle for electric vehicles. Well, that was fine until he decided to throw his lot in with President Trump. And then everybody, suddenly they have gone, they're keying, urinating on, defecating on, and vomiting on, and otherwise vandalizing, including burning up.
Mm.
Sometimes the owners are with the vehicles when this is going on.
Yeah.
Just walking along and keying it. Tesla dealerships have had violent attacks, firebombing. Bette Midler had bought a Tesla, but when Elon Musk changed his political affiliation, she sold the thing at a loss.
Mm.
Oil's back on the menu. All of a sudden, it's okay to have engines.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I know. I get concerned. I get concerned every day because when I go pick up my daughter from school, there's a Tesla in line.
Oh,
I'm sitting here thinking. I said, I hope somebody will try to come up here and do something to it while we're in line,
or else it runs out of battery and
it runs out of. Yeah.
But anyway, then they're fussing about the idea of the United States Agency for International Development, and they're discovering all this foolishness and fraud and absolute stupidity in the millions and millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And question you might want to ask some of the protesters is, well, if they're not being sent to foreign countries for some things that are too crude to mention on the air, maybe some of our debt and deficit could be a result? But what are you protesting and why are you protesting it? Well, as one guy said that I saw interviewed, he said, they gave me this free sign. A hand-lettered sign. They gave him a free sign, so he's holding it up protesting.
Yeah.
Help. Some of this stuff really goes berserk.
Really goes.
But we are, it's not all funny like that.
Yeah.
The actual damage and threats to people because they're driving an electric car that a few months ago you were praising them and saying what wonderful people they are because they're saving the planet. And now you're sitting there keying their car. And I had a man I worked with, and he's a senior NCO, and he lived in the barracks. He was unmarried.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a Jaguar.
Okay.
Nice car, probably expensive, but he could afford it. But apparently some folks didn't like him having a fancy car
He
could afford. So he got keyed so many times, he finally traded it in on a Fiat.
Well?
Because he got tired of having to get his car repainted.
Yeah, that would be bad.
So you know, people do funny things.
Oh, they do.
And sometimes, but not funny ha-ha, but funny bizarre.
Yeah, yeah.
But the concern that with development is there's so much disunity and antagonism going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one thing to, you know, picket the Tesla dealership.
Yeah.
It's something else to firebomb the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got crisis pregnancy centers.
Yeah.
That have been firebombed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And but what we have is we have, you know, grandmothers praying. There was a lady that was arrested in the United Kingdom because she was leaning up against something, quietly praying. And I saw the video of the police. Well, what are you doing? I'm just sitting here. Says, I'm not saying anything. I'm not singing songs. Mm-hmm. I'm just quietly sitting here. It was in the vicinity of an abortion clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And she asks, are you talking? No, maybe in my head. Are you praying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm praying in my head. And he arrested her.
Wow.
Because it's, you know, in the United Kingdom, there are things that are illegal.
Wow.
So she was arrested for silently praying.
That's crazy.
By the Washington Clinic.
That's crazy.
And so running into stuff like that, there was this men's conference I went to. They had one of the speakers was commenting that he had a book, and they were going to print it in Europe, a country in Europe. And his editor called back and says, we got a problem. He says, chapter such and such. He says, if I print that, I will be arrested.
Yeah.
Because it was commenting that there are two genders, male and female.
Mm-hmm.
And it's against the law in that country to say that.
Wow.
Because you got to remember, there's the difference between being a citizen and being a subject. We are citizens of the United States.
Yeah.
In England, they are subjects of the king.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we are subjects of King Jesus.
That's
right. We should have our supreme allegiance.
That's right.
And I've talked 2 minutes into time for Pen from the Heart.
Let's get into it.
Something new and different.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Adams, thank you all for spreading the good news. May our Lord continue to bless you and the ministry you provide. From Clarksville, we appreciate your faithful service to the Lord. May he continue to bless your ministry. From Russellville, I'm praying for the Lord's blessings to meet the financial needs. Also from Clarksville, thank you for standing as a light shining in darkness.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Sharing hope in Christ 24/7. Missionary Radio.
And, of course, this is Tuesday in the front porch.
It is, and Mike and I have swapped off because we had a scheduling issue come up, and that worked out better. Okay, Tony Ebb Perkins has written an article here talking about the lack of civility that we're running into in our country, the violence. We talked earlier about, you know, the outrage against Teslas and Tesla owners that's going on. But he's pointing out that we are a nation right now, and we're deeply divided. Not just because of a single thing, but so much ideology. You've got the cancel culture, opposing voices should be suppressed. Then they've got an assassination culture, which is frightening. There's a group called the Network Contagion Research Institute, and they did a survey. They got some folks among people who surveyed who consider themselves as left of center, which is a legitimate position. 55% of those felt that assassinating the President Trump could be justified to some extent. 48% said the same thing about Elon Musk. 38% of all respondents, regardless of their political position, they said they're at least somewhat justifiable to murder President Donald Trump. The President of the United States, they've got citizens in this country that think it would be okay, you know, or at least acceptable or a good idea to murder the president.
Mm-mm-mm.
And there is seems to be, the research has pointed out, there seems to be a growing acceptance of political violence among a lot of folks that are ideologically extremist. In other words, they kind of pound their fist on the table kind of folks.
Mm-hmm.
But as that idea becomes more normalized, when he talks about the Tesla dealerships vandalized, Executive Brian Thompson of UnitedHealthcare was murdered because by a guy who, allegedly, throw some allegedlys in there because we've got to keep doing that.
He sure, sure.
Hasn't been convicted yet. So assume there's a bunch of allegedlys on that, so I don't want to keep saying allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
I said allegedly enough now. Okay. Just
yeah,
put all those allegedlys in where they need to be.
One more time? No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
He walked up to this guy, shot him in the back, apparently murdered him, apparently because he didn't like the way some insurance claims were being handled. But here's the thing that's scary. I saw part of an interview done with a reporter, a young girl. She was talking about the assassin, allegedly, mm-hmm. Assassin, and says talking about his high moral standards.
Really?
A high moral standards when you're on camera shooting a guy in the back and killing him.
Not very many morals to me.
That is, you know, extremism and extremism, extremism.
Mm.
You know, history and scripture talk about, you know, the house or a nation being, you know, divided against itself.
Mm.
President Lincoln was famous for saying that. He stole it from Jesus or borrowed it or quoted. But,
yeah.
But then, you know, we need to, you know, be able to have a discussion with each other.
Yes.
Without resulting in fisticuffs. You've seen the video.
Right.
Of the young woman that was just talking to folks outside an abortion clinic and was arguing with this woman, and all of a sudden a woman just knocked her flat down.
Oh, wow.
I mean, decked her.
Wow.
You had to have stitches.
Man.
They were arguing, and all of a sudden the woman just hauled off and whacked. So, you know, that's not the way to conduct a discussion. We have... Christians, as such, we are called upon to remember that human beings are created in the image of God, and
yes.
For that reason, we can act with respect even when we disagree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, President Reagan and Tip O'Neill disagreed politically on a lot of things, but they respected each other.
Yeah,
like my friend Rolf and I, we respected each other's mistaken opinions. It's kind of the way we agreed to discuss some things.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to compromise.
Very true.
Unity can't be built on falsehood. You don't need to compromise, but you take humanizing steps, recognize the person you're talking to is a human being.
That's right.
And, you know, they hold a position.
Mm-hmm.
You can find out more about why they hold that position. You may not agree with it and probably still won't. You may not change their position, but at least they can understand. We do the same thing within the Christian community discussing end times.
Oh, yeah.
There's a church that I saw their little document. They said, you know, you could not be a full member on that thing unless you agreed with every aspect of their eschatology.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are folks who believe the Bible from presentation page to maps, and they come up with different positions on the end times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have read some of those, and you can see, you know, see the logic of their positions in many of these things. You know, God's a lot bigger than we are, and He does not have to explain everything, you know, in ways we can understand. We are just supposed to accept things. And understand, you know, it's like the song, I'll understand it better by and by.
That's right.
When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God about this. You're going to ask God to explain himself to me? I don't think so.
I think
he's going to be so glad to be in his presence. You're not going to.
You're not going to worry a bit about that.
And maybe you'll understand it all. You'll really understand it better by and by. I don't think you're going to be interrogating God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to want to.
Oh, no.
You know?
No.
I mean, to say, God, you need to explain yourself to me. No.
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 I'm like you. I don't believe that we're going to worry anything about any of that when we get there. I've heard people say, well, I can't wait to get there. I want to be able to ask Jesus this or this or this. You're not going to be concerned with that.
No, you're not. And I had, you know, just recently, you know, everything's lining up for Jesus' return.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a book of 2,000 years of people saying the exact same thing.
Yeah.
When Constantinople fell, and I think it was 14-something or other,
mm-hmm.
to the Turks, preachers were going around town. They say, sign of the end time. Jesus is coming right back because this has happened.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen Jimmy Carter identified as the Antichrist. Jimmy Carter, of all people.
Jimmy Carter.
Yeah. And,
wow.
Then there were some folks that said, well, the beast that had the head wound, and they thought he died, and he didn't. So that's John F. Kennedy. They've got him in rehab somewhere.
I mean,
just absolutely bizarre stuff.
No, they even
Saddam Hussein started rebuilding Babylon, and books came out. Oh, this is it. This is it.
Yep.
And I think
I've even seen where they say Trump's the Antichrist.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sitting here saying, now, wait a minute. I said, the Antichrist. I said, what people, they'll sit here and talk about so-and-so is the Antichrist, but listen, this person's going to be, when he comes up, he's going to be somebody that most everybody's going to like.
Yeah, it blows that one, doesn't it?
So it blows that because not everybody likes President Trump.
No, they don't. And even people that voted for him don't like him because if they admit they voted, they immediately go into a paragraph or two of criticism.
That's it.
But, there's just so much of this that goes on trying to make the time work out. The guy that wrote the 88 Reasons Why the Rapture is going to come in 1988, he said, now, it tells us in the Bible you won't know the day or the hour, but it doesn't say you won't know the month or the year.
Yeah.
People bought the book.
Oh, my goodness.
And then he came out with a second book. Oops, I meant 1989.
Whoops.
They bought that book. Then he came out with a third book. Actually, I corrected my math. It's going to be 1991, and not many people bought that book. They're beginning to get the picture.
Yeah, they're like,
but he
what?
Made a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
And there are a lot of folks that have written book after book on the end times of what they call newspaper eisegesis.
Yes.
As I say, camel stumbles and falls in the south in the Middle East, and people write a book about the end times.
I know.
But the point being that to sit down there and say, you must toe my exact line, whether it's political or economical or ethical or whatever else, or I'm not going to have anything to do with you.
Yeah.
We need to work on civility. And for crying out loud, don't talk about assassinations.
That's right.
Murder is a sin.
It's a sin.
And it's sin. And everybody got off the boat after the flood. And God told everybody in the entire world, all eight of them, that a murderer is to be executed.
That's right.
There are folks that say, well, that didn't come down until later. No, it came out right then. That who sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. So there's a reason for things like that.
Yes.
Now, I'm not advocating personal revenge because that's God makes it clear a little later on that vengeance is his and he will repay. So sometimes we use the vehicle of the justice system. Sometimes we just let God take care of it.
That's it.
But we don't go around assassinating the President of the United States. I don't like him, so I'm going to kill him. That's bad movies.
Bad.
And bad books.
That's it.
And it's time for Johnny.
Yep. Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope here on Missionary Radio.
Hi, I'm John Erickson Tata with a few thoughts for Easter week. And perhaps the best thought about Easter is in Philippians chapter 2, where we are told to have an Easter mindset. And let me read it for you. It says, have this same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, and that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, I read that and I think of Easter, because we are to have that same mindset as Christ. Oh, to humble ourselves, to approach life as he did, to die to ourselves and say, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Oh, that we could say that the life we now live in the flesh should be solely for the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. That is having an Easter mindset. And it is why Jesus died, so that you could live like that, so that you could live like him. One of my favorite poems for Easter is, it's actually a hymn, but it so speaks of Christ's mindset. and what should be our mindset for Easter. I just have to read it to you, and maybe because it's a hymn, I'll try singing it to you. It goes, "Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis he. 'Tis the long-expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. By his son God now has spoken, 'tis the true and faithful word." Then it goes, "Tell me, ye who hear him groaning, was there ever grief like his? Friends through fear his cause disowning, foes insulting his distress, many hands were raised to wound him. None would interpose to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. And ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, ah, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. Here we have a firm foundation, here the refuge of the lost. Christ, the rock of our salvation, his the name of which we boast. Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on him their hope have built." If this poem, or I should say the lyrics to this hymn, "Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted," have touched your heart, then please visit johnnyradio.org today and download the poem. It is so beautiful. Tack it up on your refrigerator. Recite it. In fact, that special line, "Many hands were raised to wound him, none would interpose to save, but the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave." Justice demanded that somebody die for your sin. So this week, take time to thank your Savior. Thank Jesus that he died that you might live, and that you now live to die for him every day. That, friend, is the Easter mindset.
Well, evidently that listening partner's not home and missed out on the Thank You Jesus friend raiser. That's not a problem. I think I'll just leave this message. "Dear partner of Missionary Radio, I'm sorry we missed you, but that isn't a problem. Even though the on-air presentation of the friend raiser is over, you can still give, and please do. If you've already given, please know we are grateful. Thank you so much. Now, if you missed the friend raiser, here's what you can do. Go to missionary.radio, click on donate, and then fill out the digital faith pledge card and send it. While there, you can set up your giving through Cornerstone Payment System with your debit or credit card, or join the Firm Friend Club. You can send your faith pledge by mail to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky 42241. P.S. I want to remind you that we are 100% listener funded and want to partner with you to keep Missionary Radio on the air till Jesus comes.
52 degrees this morning.
It's getting nice and brisk and comfortable. A little bit of wind out. I'm looking out the window behind you.
Yeah, a little bit of wind.
Trees moving around.
I know as I was.
Well, okay, tree limbs moving around. The trees are pretty much staying in place.
Yeah, they're staying in just the leaves.
Not that much wind.
Yeah. I know as I was coming this morning, it was kind of breezy because I was noticing the signs kind of shaking a little bit, you know.
You ever been to Wyoming?
I have not.
I think in Wyoming, when you cross the border, you immediately pick up a crosswind. And it stays with you all the way through Wyoming, and then when you leave Wyoming, it stops.
Really?
No, but it feels that way. The wind kicks up there.
I put my foot right in my mouth, didn't I?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's what it felt like when we got there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got our James Montgomery Boyce devotional book that's called Come to the Waters. A fellow named D. Marion Clark put it together, just some of the things that Dr. Boyce had written. And he starts off with, "When righteousness and peace meet," if you'd go to Psalm 85.
Okay.
Read the whole thing.
Okay. "To the chief musician, a psalm of sons of Korah. Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sins, Salah. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Restore us, O God, of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway.
Okay, and the title given to this one is called When Righteousness and Peace Meet. Highlighted verse is verse 10. It says, steadfast love and faithfulness meet, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Dr. Boyce Rice, he said, verse 10 is one of the great poetic sections of the Psalms. It is generally understood as pointing to the work of Jesus Christ in making atonement for our sins, by which alone God is able to both satisfy the demands of his righteousness or justice and at the same time show mercy to those who have fallen short by his just standards. In other words, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Yes.
This may be part of what is involved, but the picture painted by verses 10 through 13 is larger and more comprehensive than that. They are actually looking forward to an ideal state and time when the harmony that is in God will also pervade and dominate God's creation. The devil is a great disruptor. As we talked some about that, the pastor kidnapped off the pulpit in South Africa,
yes.
All the violence, sectarian violence,
mm-hmm.
going on. And the strange things, you know, we had the civil rights issues and all the fights to get equality between the blacks and the whites,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
whatever the current biblical term is. And then now what do we have? We're back to self-segregating.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the Black Congressional Caucus.
Mm-hmm.
Why? We have universities, and they'll have a special graduation ceremony, not the official one, but a ceremony just for the black students.
Yes.
And, you're free to do that, and that just puzzles me.
Mm-hmm.
And after all this of trying to get together, suddenly they're doing, we're back to, I'm going to use the S word, segregation.
Yeah.
Again, I find it puzzling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I guess you could say, well, you know, we're doing it this time because we want to, and I can understand that.
Yeah.
But it just puzzles me.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's no, you know, puzzling me is not all that hard, actually. The devil, however, is a great disruptor, not of the violence and stuff that we see going on in our country right now. But he's brought disharmony to the universe. God brings harmony. And in these verses, Boyce writes, four great attributes of God meet together: love, faithfulness, righteousness, and peace. And then, like conquering generals, they march side by side to a victory that is sure and certain hope of God's people. And Boyce goes on to three harmonies we're going to discuss here.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, the harmony in God. When we speak of mercy and truth as well as righteousness and peace being reconciled in God because of the work of Jesus Christ, we imply that somehow they are in conflict, but the qualities in God are never in conflict, and the psalm is certainly not speaking of a conflict. On the contrary, love and faithfulness, righteousness and peace are always at home in God, and it is from this divine harmony that all other harmonies come. We have peace only when we rest in Him. Number two, harmony between heaven and earth. The second harmony is between God and man, which is what verse 11 suggests, when it speaks of faithfulness springing from the earth and righteousness looking down from heaven. We may see this as God's gift of righteousness from above and our response of faith reaching up to receive God's righteousness and then issuing in faithfulness, resulting in, you know, yielding faithfulness. But the picture is probably not as specific as this. The verse is better seen as pointing to a state in which God's people live in faithful obedience. Oh, there's that word again. Obedience to God and are blessed by Him. When that happens, salvation has indeed come to a people, and the glory of God dwells in their land. And finally, number three, a harmony in man. The third harmony is in man himself. For these qualities, love, faithfulness, righteousness, and peace, are attributes of God that can be shared with man and therefore can and must appear in those who are God's people. Moreover, when they appear in us, we find that we are at peace not only with God, but also with ourselves and with one another. In fact, we become peacemakers in an otherwise cruel, warring, and disharmonious world. And that's one of the things we were discussing a good bit this morning, is the disharmony in the world in general and our country in particular right now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it, as I say, almost every front porch at some point, we as a nation, as a government, and then socially and economically, have turned our back on God and His principles.
Yes.
And we have told Him, go away, we don't need you.
Yeah.
And Romans 1 tells us that He will turn us over to a reprobate mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that a lot of what we see manifested is God's judgment on us to try to bring us to repentance because of His love, to bring us into harmony with Him.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look around and see all the disharmony in the world in general, and in our nation in particular, because, you know, we're citizens of the United States, this is our country, and we need to, you know, take care of the beam in our own eye before we spend too much trouble trying to straighten everybody else's out.
That's true. Very true.
We need, the harmony needs to come as a gift from God and from our loyalty to Him.
Yes.
People don't know that. People don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
People throw it aside. But why? Because
yep.
perhaps they haven't seen enough of it. You know, how many churches are formed because of a split from another church instead of reconciliation?
A lot.
And it takes sometimes decades for things to settle down again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And eventually they do, because if we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that will seek reconciliation and harmony. So, harmony with God, harmony with nature, harmony with each other, harmony found in Jesus Christ. That's why Missionary Radio is existing, to help to promote that.
Yes.
To strengthen God's people, like whatever our little E-team.
That's right.
Evangelize the lost, edify the saint, educate the Bible student,
mm-hmm.
encourage the believer, and exalt Jesus Christ. Throw
Amen.
A fifth one in there.
Amen.
So this might be a good time to point out that we just had the fundraiser. So your donations keep this station on the air and make these programs
right.
available. So be praying about that.
Yes.
And be obedient to what the Godly lays on your heart.
Absolutely.
If you would, please, and thank you.
Absolutely.
God bless. See you in a couple of weeks, Lord willing.
All right. God bless you, Jim. Thanks for being with us today. And join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for the Front Porch right here on Missionary Radio.